You're listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information about Vineyard Milwaukee, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com. Now, here's our podcast.
Good morning, everybody. So, I'm wondering if you have ever had that feeling like you just don't belong. Like, maybe you're at a party or at work, or maybe you're in church, or in a church group, or a small group, or something, and you just have that feeling like, I don't feel like I belong. Or maybe you've even felt that way in your own family. Like, I don't feel like I belong in my own family. I remember once when I was a sophomore in college, and I just ended my sophomore year, and I was, before I even, like, came home, I went on a vacation with my, at the time, just my parents and sister. And I had just ended a very long, like, a year and a half, very unhealthy, toxic relationship with this guy. And as you would expect as a 20-year-old coming off of something like that, I was filled with a lot of pain, even though I chose to end it. I had a lot of pain. I had a lot of confusion. I had a lot of questions. I was struggling. And my parents knew I had just ended this relationship, but for whatever reason, they just chose not to ask me about it or to bring it up or to check in with me. There was no conversations like, hey, how are you feeling about what just happened? Or you want to talk about what just happened? It was almost like I wasn't allowed to bring my whole self on this trip, that I was allowed to be part of the vacation, but I was not meant to bring my confused, painful, in pain self on this trip. And the feeling that can arise in those times is, gosh, I don't belong. I can't bring my whole self to this space. And this desire to belong is a very deep and global human experience that we all share. We were literally created out of relationship for authentic, intimate relationship with other people. And many of us, myself included, would often say that we might experience at times a deep sense of loneliness or disconnect or just a feeling that I don't belong, this sense of not belonging. And if you've been with us for a while, you know we've been talking about for a while this whole idea of being spiritually formed. And if you want to know what I mean by that is, you're not aware of it, whether you even believe in God or not. All of us are being spiritually formed every day. We just are. In our human experience, we're being formed by the people around us. We're being formed by the places we live. We're being formed by the talk radio we listen to. Whoops. Being formed by the Netflix shows we watch, the podcasts we listen to, the church sermons we listen to. Whatever we're taking in, we're being formed by it. And so the whole point of this series is that we might be a little more intentional thinking about how we're being spiritually formed. And so we started this series talking about being formed in prayer. What does it mean to be formed as a human being through the process of prayer? And now we're switching gears and we're talking about being formed in relationships. And all of us are in relationships. So what does it mean to be intentional, be thinking about how we're being formed in relationships and showing up in relationships? And so last week, Dave kind of introduced this by talking about that we're like a point. He kind of described like if we have like three points, like we're like this individual person, but we have a relationship with God and we have a relationship with other people, but we also have a relationship with ourselves. And if I'm honest with you, when he was talking about that, I felt a little like squeamish. Like I've always been a little uncomfortable with language around a relationship with yourself. People talk about loving yourself, accepting yourself, forgiving yourself, knowing yourself. I've even heard the term dating yourself. I'm like, really? Like, I really adhere to this idea that the belief that we're created, like I said, out of relationships for relationships, that we can't know ourselves apart from other people. That God would never have created one human being. He created us purposely in relationship with each other. And that being human is to be in relationship with others. And it's how we discover who we are. And I still believe this is to be true. I still believe that a lot of our conflicts and our loneliness and our narcissism and our stuckness comes from being formed in this American dream of rugged individualism and self-sufficiency. However, we are individual people, aren't we? We still are a one-of-a-kind individual person. We also have a self that exists when we're alone and there's no other people around us. Or ideally, there's a part of us that exists that's the same person in every room we're in. Or at least that's sort of the hope, that we would bring who we are into church, into our workplace, into our families, that we are a one-of-a-kind, irreplaceable image-bearer of God. And so that party, that conference, that small group around the dinner table, do we have a self that is not, or at least ideally not determined by the person sitting across from us or the person standing in front of us, that we wouldn't have to shape shift and show up differently depending on what room we're in? So we have what therapists in the room or anyone that's been through like the emotionally focused program we talk about so much, we have a differentiated self. And so a working definition, if you're wondering what I mean by that, a differentiating self, would be a person's capacity to remain true to their deepest principles, to be thoughtful rather than reactive, while remaining emotionally connected to others who are important to oneself. And an extended definition of that is also differentiation is the capacity to separate our intellectual and emotional systems and be able to choose between them. So there's a ton to unpack there, right? We could do like a year's worth of study on this whole idea of differentiation. But ultimately, what it's about is becoming your true self. It's really about being yourself, being fully like in line with who am I? What do I really believe? How do I want to show up in the world? And I think that, the self that God created us to be and growing into that ability to be that person in all rooms with all people at all times. And I think this is really the yearning and the primary, one of at least the primary quest and calling for all people. St. Irenaeus of Lyons says, the glory of God is a man fully alive. And so we're all trying to get comfortable in our own skin, aren't we? We're trying to be okay with who we are. And so we look around us to get some feedback. We start when we're babies. We look at our parents' faces and we say, who am I? Is this person across from me looking at me? Are they smiling? Are they reacting and responding to my needs when I cry? Are they noticing me? And then we move into our family of origins. We're getting feedback from them. And then we move to our peer groups and we're looking around. We're getting feedback. How are people reacting to me? How are they receiving me? Do they like me? Am I invited places? How do people respond to me? We get feedback from coaches and teachers and pastors. And for most of us, we've gotten a real mixed bag, haven't we? Of feedback from all these sources. Right, some really positive, some not so positive, some maybe very painful, maybe places of rejection. It's been a mixed feedback for all of us. And then what we do is we put meaning on this feedback, and out of that we form what we often call the false self. We often form this self that needs to survive in this world where we're getting all this mixed feedback. We have to emotionally, physically, psychologically survive. And so we start to make adjustments to our personality in order to feel safe. Most of us in our quest for belonging have learned how to fit in. And fitting in is this desperate attempt to belong, but it's not the same thing. But it's our desire to belong. And that can leave us feeling that's more confusing and more lonely. Because we can feel like we have a lot of friends or we fit in some places, but we still have this deep ache that we don't belong. Author Brené Brown, in her book, The Gifts of Imperfection, describes belonging this way. She says, belonging is the innate human desire to be part of something larger than us. Because this yearning is so primal, we often try to acquire it by fitting in and by seeking approval, which are not only hollow substitutes for belonging, but often barriers to it. Because true belonging only happens when we present our authentic and perfect selves to the world, our sense of belonging can never be greater than our level of self-acceptance. So as I said, this false self, Dave talked about a little bit last week. He's like, I've done a lot of work to build up this personality, right? Use the analogy of taking off clothes and putting on new ones. And so it's formed through self-protection that may have started really early on in your childhood, depending on what your experience was like growing up, or maybe it happened more in middle school or in high school. You started to armor up. You started to shape-shift. Sort of find ways to show up in the world that kept you safe, to get your needs met. And out of that, we start to form some sinful habits of hiding and lying or blaming and manipulating or criticizing or gossiping or overindulging. We find ways then to get our needs met, to survive. And what was meant to protect us actually keeps us from the belonging and the connection that we're so deeply aching for. So what can we do about this? What can we trade our various forms of self-protection for so that we can risk being ourselves, showing up with all of who we are? What can we anchor ourselves to in such a way that we can find the courage to be vulnerable, to tell the truth, to be real, to be ourselves in a very unstable and unpredictable world? It's our hidden life with Christ. That's the anchor. That's what we can hold on to. Colossians 3 that Dave brought up last week, it says, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So what does this mean? That you've died. So some of you are like me, you may have grown up in church and you may have been taught that when you come into a saving relationship with Jesus, you now need to somehow trade in your current self, your current corrupt self, for some new and improved Christ-like self, for this sort of unknown self, right? This whole idea, like, get rid of you, you're bad and corrupt, take on this unknown, strange, new self. And that can be kind of disorienting, can't it? Like, what does that really mean? And so I was basically struggling, reminded all over and over again about my sinful and corrupt nature and that I needed to somehow die and become something new. Now, are we corrupt and sinful? Yes, we are. Are we meant to become someone else? No, we're not. We're meant to become ourselves. We're meant to become our true selves, the self we are now without all the disordered attachments and armor we've put on and habits, sinful habits we've formed to survive in a hostile world. And in order to risk that kind of vulnerability, we need a safe, stable place where we are fully known, fully loved, and fully belong in which to live from. And that place is our hidden life with Christ. Thanks for the text. I get texts, just so you know, from you while I'm preaching. So, sorry, a little distracted. It's from this place that we can risk showing up as our true, authentic selves. And this is the self that has been raised with Christ and is seated with him at the right hand of God. This is the self that it says in Colossians 3 that is chosen by God, made right, dearly loved, and now clothed with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. This is your true self that forgives and loves graciously. This is who you really are, peaceful and grateful. Now, you might not show up that way all the time. I don't know about you. Do any of you show up that way all the time, right now, in real time? But don't you want to? Don't you want to be that kind of person? Don't you want for people to describe you that way at the end of your life? And the good news is, if your life is hidden with Christ, you are already there. That is actually who you really are. And the journey that you're called to as a follower of Jesus is to bridge the integrity gap between how you are showing up right now in real time, your false self, with who you really are in your hidden life with Christ, your true self. That's the journey. We're bridging this gap in what's already true about us and what we're becoming. That's the gap. That's the journey with Jesus, is bridging that gap. And when you begin to really live from this place, you don't have to hide. You can face your integrity gap without fear or shame, because that is not who you really are. That is the false self. I was doing this exercise recently in preparation for, I know we plug emotionally focused all the time, and I'm plugging it again. And I'm actually, I've been through like almost every class they have to offer, and I'm about to take one called Differentiation in Parenting, because that's, for me, the hardest place to differentiate. And so as preparation for my class, which is starting this week, we were meant to kind of process what are some meaning-making, meanings like as I get feedback from the world and from people around me, what's often the meaning-making I will put on those things? And these were the three things that came to me. I said, the meaning I sometimes make is that I'm inadequate, that others are incapable of taking care of me, and that if people don't like me or are mad at me, I'm not worthy of love and belonging. Which, again, if you're familiar with Brené Brown, that's her definition of shame. The painful experience of believing that we're flawed and therefore unworthy of love and belonging. So this is coming from my false self. This is from my unanchored, insecure self. This is from the self that is not leaning in to my hidden life with Christ. But when I lean into my true self, which is hidden with Christ in God, in the heavenly realms, I can say God is adequate. He is capable of taking care of me, and he has decided that I'm worthy of his love and that I belong with him. And so from this place, I can embrace my limitations. I can ask for what I need. I can risk someone being mad at me or finding me annoying. I can risk being myself. I can show up as my full self, because I belong. One of my favorite songs that God sings to me sometimes when I'm kind of in this place of insecurity and instability, it's a Billy Joel song, I know, like, whole white girl from the 80s, whatever. But some of you may be familiar with it. It's called I Love You Just the Way You Are. Anyway, I'm just going to read a couple of the lyrics. It says, you need to know that you will always be the same old someone that I knew. What will it take till you believe in me the way that I believe in you? I said I love you, that's forever. And this I promise from the heart. I couldn't love you any better. I love you just the way you are. When your life is hidden with Christ in God, he sees you as you really are. Fully alive, the real you, and he sees this real you, the you that is becoming, the you that's working this out in real time. We are becoming who we already are, and God sees you becoming who you already are. He sees the full you. Now, if you're asking yourself, aren't there some things about me that need to change? Well, yes, of course. This is, remember, the journey that I talked about. But who you really are, the essence of you, if you're a follower of Jesus, is in the hidden place with Christ. And that's all you ever have to be, nothing more and nothing less. You are an unrepeatable image bearer of God. We don't have to hide in this place. So shame and condemnation have no power over us. We experience belonging, so we don't have to hustle for it. And so, as I said earlier, as a follower of Jesus, your life journey will be bridging the gap, the integrity gap between the realities of your false self, your guarded, addicted, manipulative self with bent desires leading to damaging behavior. Paul describes some of these in the same verses that Dave brought up last week, and I'm bringing up again in Colossians 3 when he says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, to your false self. Your sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Rid yourself of things such as anger and rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. He says, don't lie to each other since you've taken off your old self, your false self, with its practices. And he says, you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. That line, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator, that is journey language. That is process language. You are being renewed. So, let's get practical. How do we do this? How do we walk in this journey of bridging this integrity gap, of being renewed in the knowledge, to move from our false self to the real self that is hidden with Christ in God? Well, your first step is to join your life, to go to that hiding place, however you need to get there, to crawl to that hiding place, to be taken to that hiding place, for that hiding place to find you. We need to find ourselves, to enmesh our life with the person of Jesus. So your first step is to step into a relationship with Jesus. And if you haven't done that, you got to start there. It's a work that he does. It's a supernatural transaction that he makes. We just enter in and open ourselves up to it. And if your life is hidden with Christ, and you want to learn how to live from that place, how to live and love and walk and be in relationship from that place of belonging, there are three primary means that we actually walk this out, that we are spiritually formed in this hidden place with Christ. And the first one is we spend time there. We spend time in the presence of Jesus, in that hidden place. And in a real practical way, for some of you who do spiritual direction, or you might have done some guided prayer, things like that, sometimes a process is to actually be like led to, some people called it the meeting place or the safe place, and it's a place where you actually, in your imagination, meet with the person of Jesus. And for some of you, you'll repeat, you'll go back to that same place in your imagination over and over again. It becomes like a meeting place for you. For me, this works better as an actual, literal, physical location. So for me, I actually have physical places I go that feel like hiding places for me. And so one of the places I go to is South Shore Park by the lake, because I've been going there for years to meet with Jesus. And so every time I'm there, even if I'm just there to play with my kids, go to the farmer's market, I feel a connection, a spiritual connection in that moment. I feel like I'm in my special hiding place. And so for you, it doesn't mean that you have to meet Jesus in the hiding place in those physical locations. You can meet with him anywhere. But the repeated habit of going to a place either in your imagination or a physical place can begin to cultivate the ability to be present to God's presence, which is with you all the time, but it's learning to cultivate the ability to be present and to soak that in and to learn to become aware of, like, what does he sound like to me? What does he feel like? What does he smell like? What does it feel like to be in his presence, and to work that out? And again, if this is like all really foreign to you, meeting with a spiritual director is a great way to begin to cultivate that habit of being in physically in the hidden place, meeting with God. For some of us, it'll feel very intellectual, and you'll have thoughts. Some of us, it's going to be very bodily, where you'll just feel a sense of peace or love. It feels different for all of us, but it's a meeting place, and you should know, I am meeting with the person of Jesus, the actual spirit of Jesus in this space. And then we're also formed through scripture. I know there's a big difference between having information about the Bible and being able to go through exegesis of passages in a Bible and understand, which is all really good, but there's a lot of people have gone to seminaries and studied this stuff and are very far from God. Not the scripture is not actually forming the way they live and show up and love in relationships. I recently listened to this podcast where a guy that interned under Tim Keller, if you're not familiar with Tim Keller, he is a just super well-known Presbyterian preacher from New York City that is highly respected across all denominations in the Christian world as a man who's just lived with integrity. He's been an incredible leader, authored many books. And in this podcast, this man learned under him, kind of mentored under Tim Keller. And he said actually what he learned the most from Tim Keller was not how to lead a big church, how to grow a church, how to preach really well. He said it was watching his private life with God and how much his private life, his hidden life, matched his public platform. And so now Tim Keller is absurdly intelligent and reads a ton. So I'm not going to compare myself to Tim Keller, but I was at least inspired when he said that Tim Keller prays through the Psalms. For 60 years, he has prayed through the Psalms once a month. And he, for 60 years, he reads through the Bible every year. I'm like, dang, okay, I can't aspire to that level, but that clearly, the life he has lived, has he has been spiritually formed by Scripture. And so I was just inspired by praying through the Psalms as a, like a starting place. If reading Scripture feels dry or boring to you and you just need a starting place, try that. Try just reading the Psalms out loud as a prayer. There's lots of ways to be spiritual. You can, if you are a busy person and you don't have lots of time on your hands, I sometimes listen to the Bible being read to me. So most Bible apps, someone can read the Bible to you. So you can literally do it while you're doing dishes and you're driving your car, and you will find, I guarantee you if you do this, you will find things are happening because of the Scripture that's being like poured over you and into you. And then finally, we need to be intentional about engaging deeply with other followers of Jesus. We need places where we can bring the whole of ourselves, of who we are, into others to speak into our lives. And this is the space where we remind each other who we really are, who our true selves is. It's not about shaming each other, it's about reminding each other. Hey, remember, you are hidden with Christ and God. You are safe and loved, and you don't need to lie. Remember, you don't have to be anything more than who you are. You don't need to power up or put people down to make yourself look better. Remember, you belong to Jesus. That porn isn't going to fill you up. That fourth drink isn't going to heal your pain. I love you, and I know the real you. We see and call out our true selves. This is a great practice, by the way, in marriage or parenting, to see your child in their true self, your spouse, who they really are. And we're going to unpack that a little bit more in the weeks ahead. But when we correct, or as Paul says, admonish one another, we see and call out the beautiful, one-of-a-kind image bearer of God that your child is, that your spouse is, that your friend is. We're reminding each other from a place of grace and love when our desires and our behavior don't line up with our true selves. We're reminding and calling out, this is actually who you are. Remember? I remember following when we were first being trained in emotionally focused, and we talked about that integrity gap. And we went out for drinks after one of the sessions, and this woman who I just met but felt really connected to was in my little group, and I was telling her how I want to show up with my husband, but how I actually show up. And he had bought my drink for me, and it wasn't what I had really wanted. And so I was like, oh, I didn't want these. I was all salty about it. And she just looks across the table. She goes, I see an integrity gap. I was like, dang. But it was really sweet. I mean, we're just out over drinks. There was no shaming. This is a woman I felt connected to, felt I could receive from. It came from a total place of love. And she just saw it and called it out right there. That's what it's like. It's like we just talked about this is actually how you want to show up and this is how you really showed up. So I'm just reminding you who you really are. Who you really are is someone that's like, thanks, hon. Thanks for getting this for me. And secretly, I'm like, this isn't really what I wanted. But it's okay. It came from a place of love, and I want to respond with kindness, not with saltiness, right? And so that's what it looks like. And you form the kind of safety, the kind of relationships where you feel safe enough, and you give people permission. This is where a lot of us need to help. Give people permission to talk to you like that. Out of love and grace, we'll say those things to you. You need to be a person that can receive that. You need to start giving other people permission to call you out from a place of love, to remind you of who you really are with your life hidden with Christ and God. And so, again, I just want to push. Do we have a slide for the next emotionally focused thing? There is a, in December, the first weekend of December, Grafton Vineyard is hosting an in-person, it's like a Friday night, Saturday. This is an introduction weekend. And some of you in the room have done the introduction. The next step is where you really do the deeper work. And it's a longer, like, six-month commitment of walking out with a coach. And then you can take these classes. I've taken all kinds of really cool classes along the way. It's an ongoing, lifelong work. But it gives you really good tools to work with and a community to come alongside of you as you do it together. And it's really good work, so I couldn't recommend it more. And I know some of you in the church are currently going through that right now. Things like therapy, working with a spiritual director, forming true friendships where you give the other person permission to speak in your life, you confess your sins to each other. You're like, hey, I had this integrity gap this week. I just want to tell someone about it. And your brother or sister can be like, hey, that's not who you really are. I love you and I bless you for journeying into who you really are. And I'm going to go on that journey with you. Forming those kind of relationships. This is a way we actually walk this stuff out in real time. And so in closing, back to the beginning of our discussion, when I talked about the longing to belong and that painful feeling of not belonging. So how does finding ourselves in that hidden place with Christ help that feeling of not belonging? The truth is, we will all experience feelings of loneliness from time to time. Jesus felt those feelings of loneliness. There are times we might be grieving something deeply, and we can feel very alone in our pain because no one is quite there with us. And that's just a very normal human experience. No one else in the world feels like is really with me in this moment of this deep grief I'm going through. There are times where we might be away, physically away from people who know us well and love us well, and we'll just feel lonely. And that's normal. That's just a normal human experience. So belonging is not about never feeling lonely or misunderstood. It is about belonging to God and therefore belonging to yourself. I just want to end with this quote from a former priest, Irish poet named John O'Donohue. And just listen to this quote. Only holiness will call people to listen now. And the work of holiness is not about perfectionism or niceness. It is about belonging, that sense of being in the presence, and through the quality of that belonging, the mild magnetic of implicating others in the presence. This is not about forging a relationship with a distant God, but about the realization that we are already within God. This is not about forging a relationship with a distant God, but about the realization that we are already within God. Why don't we stand? We're going to move into a time of worship, and I want to invite you to take communion together. And the beautiful thing about communion is that we are celebrating that we are able to be with Christ in God because of what Christ did on our behalf, because he made a way for us to do this. And so today, this is about celebration. So if you're in the room, if you're in the aisle, someone at the table will be happy to bring communion elements to you. If you're at home, you can grab something you have at home. And this is the central reason we come together week after week, to celebrate and proclaim Jesus' death. And as we ache for his return, that ache for belonging will always be there just a little bit, because we won't fully have that experience of belonging until he returns and we can have that full experience of being at home with him. But that is what we're journeying now. That is what we're journeying toward now. And we have the opportunity to experience that belonging in the hidden place with Christ. And so as we take this communion together, We are showing our gratitude and we're celebrating what's been done on our behalf. When Jesus met with his disciples, he took the bread and he broke it. He said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." Let's take the bread together. In the same took the cup and as he poured out the wine, he said, "This is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Every time you drink this, do this in remembrance of me." Let's take the cup together. So, Lord, we collectively just want to say thank you for making a way for our lives to be hidden with you, with Christ, in God. And it's from that place of deep belonging that we can come into the world as our whole selves. So, Lord, I pray you would just fill us with that truth this morning, that you would empower us to bring our whole selves into relationships with each other and give permission for people to bring their whole selves into relationship with us. And, Lord, it starts with you. It starts with us bringing our whole selves to you. And so, Lord, this morning we just bring ourselves to you and we receive once again into our beings all that you accomplished on the cross for our behalf. We thank you, Lord. We love you. We honor you. We worship you today.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com.